This is Circulating Ideas. I'm Steve Thomas. My guest today is Rebecca Vanook. She's the editor of Indie Picks, the book review publication dedicated to independent publishers and authors. She comes to Indie Picks after holding the position of editor for collection management and library outreach with Booklist for many years. You can find Indie Picks at indiepicksmag.com. And Circulating Ideas is brought to you with support from the University of South Carolina School of Library and Information Science and from listeners like you. Rebecca, welcome back to Circulating Ideas.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
The last time we talked was a few years ago at the Illinois Library Association Conference, and you've made a few changes in the time since then. But I wanted to start off with a question not related specifically to the project we're going to be talking about mostly. Last time we talked, we didn't really talk about how you became a librarian in the first place. What drew you to the field in the first place?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Yeah, so I was always a bookish kid, right? I was the one that got in trouble in school because I had my comic book usually or my little skinny paperback hiding behind my social studies book. When everybody was supposed to be reading for school, I was reading fun stuff and I'd get caught and get in trouble for that. And I was the kid that was, you know, I wasn't a latchkey kid by any means, but I did spend a lot of my time by myself in the library and, you know, got home by myself and all that stuff. I have fond memories of spending evenings in the library. And so when I finished college, so I have a bachelor's degree in musical theater, of all things. And I did that sort of for fun. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for giving me the privilege to be able to do that. Because I knew that I wasn't going to be, I probably didn't have the talent, and I certainly didn't have the drive to go out and be a working actor. it was definitely something I did for fun and because I thought I was good at it, but I knew I'd make a terrible, terrible waitress. So I always, right? So I always knew that I was doing this for my bachelor's and that I was going to have to go back to grad school for something that I was doing for serious, right? So after college, I moved to Chicago and just did some retail work and wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And then one of my friends at the retail job that I had looked at me one day and she's like, you know, every time you're on break and every time I see you, you've got a book in your hands. You're always reading. Why don't you go back to school and become a librarian? And I was like, you know, that's actually on my list. And I just didn't kind of know what to do. And it, as it turns out, here in Chicago, there's a very well-regarded library school, Dominican University. Mm-hmm. It was Rosary College still at the time when I went. That shows you how old I am. but it wasn't, you know, it was easy to get to and it was convenient. And I was like, oh, look, I happened to land here right where there's a good library school. So I decided to go and go back to library school. And I was really excited, actually, my very first semester when I found out that you could, you know, you chose your sort of library specialty, right? Public library, special library, academic library. And then were you going to be a children's librarian? Were you going to be a reference librarian? And I was delighted to discover that you could take courses in being a reader's advisory librarian. And so that really just sealed the deal for me. And especially here, we're very fortunate, I think, in Illinois, particularly up in the Chicago area, that, you know, reader's advisory jobs, maybe they're not plentiful, but they exist, right? I think there's a lot of places where librarians do the reader's advisory function, but they're not maybe called reader's advisory librarians, or, right, you know, right. they're working the reference desk, but really 90% of what they're talking about is reading. But here in Illinois, there's a lot of actual reader's advisory specialist and reader's advisory librarian jobs. And so I just kind of landed in the right place at the right time.
And how long did you do that? Because I listened back to our older interview and we kind of picked up right when you started Shelf Renewal. So how long did you work in libraries until that point?
For 10 years.
Okay.
I was in public libraries for 10 years.
Okay. Well, then people, we'll skip ahead because people, if they want to hear your story from Shelf Renewal and Booklist, they can go back.
Yeah,
now
totally.
Listen to that one and we talked in detail about that stuff. Yes. so you were at Booklist for a long time. And recently you've made a change. What led to you leaving Booklist and starting a new path for yourself?
So it's kind of a weird thing. I always feel like the universe is very much at play in my life. And it definitely was in this case. I had been at Booklist for 6 years. And really, I loved working at Booklist. There's nothing but good things to say about it. It's a wonderful magazine run by wonderful people and doing great things. And I just kind of, the opportunity sort of came out of the blue. And I've always been, I like change. I've never been afraid to make a jump for things. And so I've always kind of been eager to see what's out there. So long story short, I happened to come across the job posting for IndiePix. Naomi Blackburn is the CEO of Potomi Media Group, who is the publisher of IndiePix. And she's originally from the Illinois area. The company is based in Corpus Christi, Texas, but Naomi is from Illinois. And so she happened to put the job posting on the Rails job board, which is the popular job board for Northern Illinois library jobs. And I saw it and I'm reading the job posting and laughing out loud because it felt to me like she pretty much went to my LinkedIn profile and took all of my job experience and put it in her job description. And I was like, well, this is funny. Like, she was specifically looking for someone with at least 5 years of editorial experience. Would be great to have someone well-versed in book reviews and, you know, who knew other people in the library and book review field. And also, though, wanted them to be an actual MLS librarian with supervisory experience. And I was like, okay, seriously, is there anybody else out there like me? Like, what's the deal here? And so I'm looking at this thinking, well, this is really bizarre. Like, she's totally, this is me. And so I made the connection on LinkedIn, and then I tried to find out more about the company, and it literally did not exist yet. So there's no Google, you know, there's no website.
Right.
And I'm like, what is this? So I find her. I do find her, though, on Twitter. So I make the connection on Twitter as well. And I was like, well, this, you know, see if this is a real person. Well, within about 2 hours of me making this LinkedIn connection, I get a message from her introducing herself, telling me a little bit about the company. And she says, oh, you know, I'm so glad that you found us and made the acquaintance. I don't know if you know, but we have this job open right now. Is there, you know, could you maybe help us spread the word and see if there's anybody you know that might be interested?
No, so I know no one who wants this job.
So I write her back and I was like, well, I might be interested. Can we talk a little bit more? And, you know, at the time she was unclear as to whether or not where this job would be located because, you know, again, she's in Texas.
Right.
The vice president of the company is still here in Illinois, but further away than I am. And I was like, I don't want to, you know, where is the office for this? Is this remote? How does this work? And she sends me back this very excited message that's like, oh my gosh, please send in your resume and we'll talk. We're still so in our infancy that we can figure out exactly, you know, where to locate and all this kind of stuff. So anyway, so I got my stuff together because, again, I wasn't job shopping, so I didn't have anything ready. So I had to find my resume and write a cover letter and get that all sent. And the very next day she calls me up and was basically, you know, you're it. You're exactly the type of person we're looking for. How can we make this work? And there we go. I decided to go ahead and make the leap. I thought it was worth it. So,
what was the, other than it kind of met your requirements and like what's your job, what you kind of almost led up to that? What about the, I guess let's take a step back and say,
sure.
What is IndiePix magazine?
So IndiePix magazine, IndiePix magazine is created to sort of celebrate the uniqueness and diversity of independent publishing houses and self-published authors. Those who have kind of chosen that non-traditional publishing route, right? We focus on basically anybody outside of the big five.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like we have anything against the big five. It's just, you know, they don't need our publicity, right? They have plenty of publicity, not only from traditional book review outlets such as Booklist and Library Journal and Kirkus, but, you know, they're also in Entertainment Weekly and all over the web and all kinds of stuff. And the indie world, really, especially those kind of self-published or those ebook only authors, you know, they're relying on word of mouth and a lot of Goodreads and Amazon reviews and stuff that's not vetted.
Right.
And so what appealed to me most about doing a magazine like this, it's actually twofold. What appealed to me was that Naomi was really clear from the start. She wanted, we only have a stable of 10 reviewers. We're very small right now. We're definitely hoping to grow, but we're very small. But she wanted all 10 of those reviewers to be librarians.
Okay.
So that these would be considered professional reviews aimed both at collection development and at general readers. So that, you know, because who better to talk to readers than librarians who know books, right? We mm-hmm. know books and we know people. And so that was really appealing to me, that she was like, these are going to be librarians, readers advisory people. We're going to be selecting things that they would want in their own collections and that they would feel comfortable offering to their patrons. So she really wanted to have that professional bend to it. The other thing, I think the thing that really, you know, might be the most appealing thing to me was, you know, it's not like there isn't anybody else out there doing small press and self-publish, but the two biggies, they charge for reviews. And that is something that from the very start, Naomi was super clear she was never going to do. Like, that is just, it's not our model. And I was like, well, good, because I'm uncomfortable with that model. I think that, you know, nothing against those magazines. They do what they do very well. But I personally don't think that you can give an unbiased review if someone is paying you. I think that you're, even if you're trying to be as professional as you can, there is something in the back of your head saying you have to say something nice about this because they've just paid you $400. Like, it's not like they're giving you $5 either. It's a big amount of money. It's a big commitment to that. And she was very much like, that is not our model. We will not take money for reviews. And so I was like, well, then great. Then I'm on. Like, I don't think I would have made this. I don't think I would have gone for it if she would have said, you know, here's how we work. So that is super appealing to me. So the more that I talked to librarian friends of mine, you know, everybody realizes that there is this whole huge industry of the really small publishers and self-published authors. And, you know, patrons are asking for that stuff. Patrons are finding out about it. It's stuff that we should be on top of. And they were looking for a magazine like this because I think that pay to play sort of makes other people uncomfortable too. And they're not really sure, you know, some of the places, we don't know who's reviewing those. Like, this is definitely a librarian focused background that we're coming from, right? Like, people trust, you know, Becky Spratford, for example, is our horror reviewer. People trust what she has to say. Robin Bradford is our romance reviewer. People trust what she has to say. So that was really the key thing for me, was that we were going to be professional reviews.
Do you still feel like there's a bias in librarianship against these kind of titles? And is a magazine like this is part of your mission to kind of make these a little more legitimate? Because I feel like a lot of, especially old school librarians, are still thinking of the vanity press days of when self-published was a pretty much equal a bad book. But nowadays, with digital publishing and ebook publishing, things like that, that's not what that means anymore. So,
correct. Yes. I think that there definitely still is there's a big bias out there still. And I think the thing that worries me sometimes is that even librarians who don't want to be biased and they want to be open to it, they are kind of stuck because everybody knows, you know, budgets aren't what they would like them to be. And they feel sometimes they have a hard enough time keeping up with what's coming out of the big five. Like, why are we adding all these extra people to the mix? But I'm hoping that they will see, well, we need to add these people to the mix because these are also good books. And, you know, you see a lot of diversity coming out of the indie world, which is the big thing that everybody's talking about these days. If you want diverse books, I think the place to look is definitely your small presses. And so I'm hoping that people will look at our magazine as, you know, we're a legitimate review source, and this will help them sort of feel a little bit more at ease with the indie side of things. One of the ways that we're doing that is we have a planned feature interview every issue called Authors on the Move, where we talk to an author who has worked both in the big five world and the non-traditional world. And I think that's a big eye opener for some librarians, is that, you know, we've got big names here where the November issue, we talked to mystery author Brian Freeman. In December, we're planning on talking to suspense writer Wendy Webb. And for January, I'm hoping that I have Jen Lancaster on board. These are all big people that have made lots of money in the big five world, and for various reasons have decided to go on their own. And that's mm-hmm. I think that's interesting for librarians to see that and realize that, hey, this might be the way things are going to start to go. So we hope to open some eyes with that.
Yeah, because there's been stories of people going both ways. You know, there's things like I'm blanking on his name now, the guy who wrote The Martian, you know, that was published, self-published yeah. first, and then a big right. publisher picked it up and then turned it into something right. else. But now there's authors going the other direction too, like you said, of just going on their own. And
yes, and that's fascinating to me because you kind of think like, well, gee, that Big Five world is so cushy. Why would people leave it? And it's like, we want to know why they leave it.
Right, right. And then I guess there's probably a whole other subculture kind of building up around that now of people who will edit your book and copy edit your book and things like that, because that's one of those keys that the big publishers have, that they have these copy
exactly.
editing and they can lay out your book looking nice, because it's hard to, I mean, that's a skill that you can't just throw it into Word and then turn it into an ebook. And
right. But and that actually, if I can jump in on that, that's yeah. one of the things when we get books in for submission. If you are an independent self-published author, when you submit your book to us, you also have to give us the name and contact information for your cover designer and for your editor.
Okay.
Because we won't accept something that you've just, right, like you just said, thrown into Word and hey, it's a book. we
export
definitely
as
want
EPUB.
These, right, exactly, exactly. We definitely want these to be actual edited books that, you know, that libraries can get. First of all, they have to be able to get them, and that we can feel confident putting those, you know, out in the library world. So yeah, so we've got sort of a vetting process for that, which is nice.
So it's something that they have to have some kind of distribution channel as well?
Yes.
Or,
okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you have the first issues out as of when this will come out, and it's going to be monthly. Is that right?
Yes, we're going to be a monthly magazine. Our first issue just came out, the November issue. It's currently coming out of the printer right now. So people who have subscribed already, and we were very excited that people subscribed to us before we even existed. That was kind of nice. The first issue is coming hot off the presses, and it's available right now on our website, which is indiepixmag.com. The full issue is available on the issue app, which, you know, it's that nice app that looks page by page, looks mm-hmm. very... very professional, very pretty. So the whole magazine is there. We're going to do that definitely for this issue. I don't know if we'll do it for December or not, but what we'll do definitely for upcoming issues is give a little preview. So the table of contents will always be there, and maybe mm-hmm. one or two of our review columns will be up there. And then some of our feature stuff we'll go ahead and put online for free as well. But to get the full experience, got to get you to subscribe.
Right, right. I mean, get right, right. Well, and give you a taste of what it is, that it's not just...
Yes. Right. We wanted to put the whole thing up there now so that people could really see what we looked like, you know, what our layout was, what our columns looked like, and get a taste for what our reviews are all about. And the response that we've gotten has been really great. People seem really excited by it.
Yeah. And I know in those early stages, you don't want to give out numbers or anything, but have you gotten a good response from the library community of subscribing?
We have. So one of the things that we're offering, In the tradition of Book Page magazine, we're offering bulk subscriptions to libraries and to bookstores. So individuals can get subscriptions on their own. You can do a digital subscription. You can do a glossy version, which is on the heavier cover paper. And then you can get this bulk version as well. And the bulk version is meant for libraries and bookstores to get in bundles of 50. Mm-hmm. So that they can put those out as freebie takeaways for their library patrons or their bookstore customers.
Oh.
So we're really hoping that people will respond to that and sort of look at this as just another thing to have in their reader's advisory arsenal. So far, the biggest response we've seen has been for our individual subscriptions, and that seems to be a lot of library folks who are interested in it. So we're hoping that they're going to help us spread the word, and we'd love to see some of just general readers and bookstores get into it as well.
Yeah, because that'll be a nice thing to have out, because then your customers and your bookstores and patrons, libraries will have that, and they'll be able to see what they think of it, and they can ask the store. We'll say, I liked this one. Can you order this one? And
exactly.
Yeah.
That's our goal.
So right now you have 10 reviewers, you said, and a couple
yes.
of other columnists. Mm-hmm. What kind of stuff are you reviewing? Because I know you've talked about horror and romance. Are you trying to cover every genre that's available?
Right. So it's been kind of hard with only 10 people to figure out, well, what do we do? So we have Robin Bradford doing romance. We have Craig Clark, Megan McArdle, and Andy Paluzian doing general fiction. And Craig sort of leans towards literary fiction. Andy does sort of more the general, she does a lot of the women's fiction, for example, so kind of your general fiction. And then Megan McArdle is focusing on book club picks. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of how we've rounded up general fiction. Alan Keep is doing science fiction and fantasy. Becky Spratford is doing horror. Katie Stover is doing nonfiction for us. And Henrietta Verma is doing mystery and thrillers. And then we have Erin Downey-Howerton and Megan Swarick doing our children's section. Erin does children's and Megan does young adult. So that's kind of how we've got it, these nice broad categories right now. I think eventually as we grow and as we move things around and see what comes of it, I would love to be able to get children's a little bit bigger so that we could do both fiction and nonfiction as separate columns. Right now, our first two issues, we've just had fiction come in, but that's really because I only have one person doing it. And, you know, we're going through the submissions and looking at what's come in, and fiction has just sort of risen to the top. But we'd also like to make sure we get nonfiction in there for the kids. And it would be great if I could sort of expand nonfiction into different categories as well. Right now, Katie is doing the yeoman's job of taking on everything in nonfiction. So she's done our first issue. She had memoirs and travelogues and, you know, informational stuff. And I'd love to be able eventually to sort of split that into things like lifestyle, you know, have memoirs as a separate reviewer, maybe some travel, etc. So it's going to be interesting to see how we grow. But for right now, we've got those categories, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of covering the popular bases. Let's just put it that way.
Right. And then you have some other columns on other media as well.
Yes, we do. So one of the plans for Potomi Media Group, I should get into that a little bit, is, you know, once we have the magazine up and running and have the name out there and the word out there, we would like to see the company expand into doing more with media, so film and music. We would like to have a platform for these, for libraries to be able to get some of these self-published works, from books to film to music. And so we do have in the magazine spread, we have a two-page spread on media where we interview a musician and we interview a filmmaker. And Justin Henke is a library director who's very into that scene, and he's done interviews for us on film and music. So that's how we're sort of also touching on that as well. And that's something we definitely want to have grow in 2018.
So what has been something that's, is there anything in particular that's surprised you about this experience with in Indie Picks that you weren't expecting?
Well, you know, on a personal level, I wasn't expecting how hard it is to get a magazine ready for print. I think I definitely owe my friends back at Booklist huge hearty handshakes, my friends in the production department, for how long it takes to get everything laid out properly and to get all of the ads in place in the right place and to make sure all of the pictures look good and all of that kind of the production side of it is really much more difficult than I ever thought it was. I am definitely not a graphic designer. I understand why people go and get degrees in that, and they are professionals in that realm. So I sort of had to have someone help teach me InDesign, which is the software we use to lay out the magazine, and that was rough. And then, you know, it's one thing to edit book reviews. It's a whole other thing to then try and lay them out properly on a page or on a two-page spread so that everything looks good. So that took me some time to kind of get that into place. But we definitely got it done. There were some long 4 a.m. work days there, but it's done now. And happily, we've actually, for our upcoming issues, we're hiring a graphic designer to work for us on a project basis to lay it out from now on. So that's okay. Going to be awesome, having that kind of off my shoulders. And she definitely has the eye to jazz it up with some more visual details and just make it look even better. Because right now, what I'm excited about is that we've produced this magazine that looks good, and the quality of the writing and the reviews are, you know, I could not be more proud of those. Mm-hmm. I'm really, really happy about our content. And now it's going to be even more exciting to have someone just make the physical magazine look even better. So I think, you know, we're just this shooting star right now, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah, and that's one thing that we talked about before we started recording, but I don't think we made clearer in the recorded part here, is that you're basically doing everything except writing the reviews.
Right, right. So I have become not just editor, but copy editor and layout person and production manager and all of this. So it's lots of fun. And we, you know, we are a very small company. My the CEO, Naomi Blackburn, also wears many hats. She is our business person. She is the ad sales rep. She is the subscription manager. She is the, so she has, you know, all these roles to fill as well. So it's been, I think it's kind of fun. It's difficult to be in a small company, and yet at the same time there's something fun about it, because you get to make all the choices, right? Like that's right. Sort of the neat thing is that you're in charge, and everything is kind of up to you, and you don't have to go through a lot of different channels. We don't have a lot of meetings that we have to come to a consensus. Like, you know, there's just four of us, and we all right. kind of understand how this should look, and it's great. So, so it's kind of it's an interesting world that I've landed in.
Well, I think it sounds like a great project, and I have looked through the first issue, and it looks really great. And I can't wait to see how your graphic designer punches it up even more. Cause,
right, right. Me too.
Yeah. If people want to find out more about IndiePix, where should they go online?
Please visit our website, which is IndiePixMag.com. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram. We do have a social media person who is always looping you into the new things that we've posted on our website, or stuff that we've got coming up in upcoming issues, or things that we're putting on the blog. So definitely follow us on social media, and you can find everything that you want to know about us on our website. We've got a whole FAQ section there that tells people how to sign up for things, how to submit their work, how to subscribe to us. All the info you need is there on our website.
All right. Well, Rebecca, good luck with everything. And I hope your subscriptions skyrocket through the roof now.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Because it does sound like it's a great tool for collection development people. So.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Circulating Ideas is produced by Steve Thomas in the suburbs of Atlanta, with support from the University of South Carolina School of Library and Information Science, and from listeners like you. Find out how you can help support the show by going to circulatingideas.com and clicking on support. Help others find the show by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the show at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, or your podcast app of choice. Follow the show on Twitter at @CircIdeas or the show's Facebook page. Our music is by Pamela Klicka. Thank you for listening, and keep circulating your ideas. But now we're on.
Now we're on, and that's the point that counts. It is really me, the real Rebecca Vanook.
Well, maybe. I don't know.